This is the Grounded in Grace column, entitled Already Whole, written, as usual, by Angela Kebeb. Lately, I've been thinking about what wholeness means. Our congregation, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, recently began worshiping with a new liturgy titled Sighs Too Deep for Words. It was developed through a collaboration of pastors, musicians, and artists, and it engages expansive language that celebrates broader images of God. The liturgy carries strong themes of grace, mercy, healing, and wholeness. For the Kyrie, we sing the Canaanite woman's song proclaiming our wholeness, and here's my favorite part. It goes, show me mercy, let us rise together. Jesus says, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. You are already made whole. You are already made whole. We are already made whole. I must admit, I'm not exactly sure what wholeness is. Naturally, healing and wholeness can mean different things to different people. Wholeness could look like living in community, working toward a more just society, or striving for peace. For some, healing and wholeness could mean inclusion, as well as agency. Still for others, healing can mean physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual recovery. I think about our son, Konami. He's 14 years old, tall, handsome, with gorgeous brown eyes and a lovely sense of humor. He's on the autism spectrum. Would you believe I've never had a true conversation with him because of the way his brain processes language? Make no mistake, he loves to talk and has a fantastic vocabulary, but he generally uses scripted language or repeats his words. It seems that I'll have to wait until I die to go to heaven and be able to have a heart-to-heart with him, to know him more fully, the way normal moms get to know their sons. Like parents with neurotypical children, I want him to develop deep, lasting relationships. You know, have best friends, fall in love, get married, have children. Yet in the wake of George Floyd and other similar tragedies, I just need to see him make it to adulthood. As he grows older and taller, I worry because one day he will encounter a police officer and might not be able to follow the verbal commands. This is why we practice with him. Get your hands up. One of us will stretch our arms out, pretend our finger is a firearm, and point in his direction, saying loudly, "Get your hands up!" But his autism causes him to first mimic actions before processing the words. That means he does what he sees first, not what he hears. So he points his finger firearm back at us. Beloveds, he only has one chance to get it right, and this is terrifying. Konami is definitely whole, complete, made in God's image right now, this side of eternity. While my son remains not fully known to me, I do trust he is fully known to God, and that his identity as a child of God is indelible. This deep and abiding truth brings me abundant joy. I understand that Konami does not need to be healed or cured in heaven, selfish as that may be. I need it. I'm encouraged by the late Nancy Eisland's powerful proclamation in her groundbreaking book, The Disabled God. She offers a powerful illustration of the resurrected Christ, who bore the scars and wounds of the crucifixion in his body. She reminds the reader that Jesus' body was not fixed or cured, yet Jesus gives this wounded, disabled body to us as the bread of life. I may not be able to tell you what wholeness is, but I can tell you where wholeness is. Wholeness is in the broken body of Christ, the resurrection Christ who was wounded, disabled, and it is this disabled body in which we partake at the altar. The disabled Christ is holy. The disabled Christ is our bread of life. We are already made whole.